اللهم لك الحمد لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك أحمدك ربي وأستعينك وأستهديك وأستلهمك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت الواحد الأحد والفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم عليه صلاة دائمة إلى يوم الدين اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد أما بعد أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله اتقوا الله سبحانه وتعالى في السر والعلانية والمنشط والمكره لعلكم تفلحون يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون First of all, I praise Almighty Allah. I praise the one who is beyond all images and comparisons and similitudes. He is the one and only creator. He is the one we pray to, we supplicate, we praise, we adore. We submit to none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator and sustainer and cherisher of the worlds. I testify there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I also testify that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger of Allah. He has come not to repeal the laws before him, but to fulfill it, to complete the message that was revealed to prophets from the beginning of time, including Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and finally Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are going through the most blessed days and nights. Our brothers from all over the world are converging in on the sacred sites. They are going to initiate, perform the rites of pilgrimage starting from the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. From tomorrow, they will be going to Mina, and from there they will go to Arafat, where a sea of humanity will stand in the plains of Arafat, all praising, adoring, magnifying the one and only Creator, and testifying that God is one and that humanity is one. The message of Rasulullah sounded in the plains of Arafat 14 centuries ago and repeated in Mina, reiterated, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna rabbakum wahid wa inna abakum wahid. O mankind, let it be known that your Lord is one, wa inna abakum wahid, and your father is one. Kullukum min adam wa adam min turab. Every one of you is descended from Adam alayhi salam, wa Adam min turab, and Adam is created from the dust of the ground. Today, when we are gathered here, we are awaiting, if within 2 days, we will be celebrating Eid al-Adha. Now, I need to take this opportunity to reflect on the message of the sacrifice, the message of Hajj, and the message of the life and struggle and the faith of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which we are emulating, we are reiterating. We are supposed to uphold this message and transmit it. Today, Muslims need to go back to the sources in order to relate the universal message of Islam. shorn of those cultural baggages, the inhibiting, time-bound cultural baggages that you and I carry. They don't apply to this new milieu. So, we have lessons to learn from the Holy Quran when it narrated the life and the struggle and the faith of Ibrahim alayhi salam. I don't have time to narrate everything about Prophet Ibrahim and his sons Ismail and Ishaq and their progeny, but we need to reflect on the universal message that Allah Almighty is trying to transmit through these stories, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us these are not tales for entertainment. There is ibrah, there is lesson to be applied universally for you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he defied his father and the country, the power, and challenged them to question their beliefs and to question the idolatry, the worship of idols and images, and come back, recognize the one and only God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He challenged them intellectually. He asked probing questions, and they could not answer. He experimented, showed them through an experiment. He took it upon his hand to go and knock down those idols, just only to make them think of how powerless, how utterly useless these idols are. And of course they came rushing. Who did that? He said, ask the bigger idol, he will answer you. Of course, they came back to their senses and they knew these idols cannot think, they cannot talk, they cannot benefit. But of course, it was just a flash. But then again, they went back to their older ways. They did not stop to think. The whole story of Ibrahim alayhi salam in his interaction, the way he observed the sun, the moon, and the natural phenomena, and from there asking the question and coming to the conclusion that the creator of the world cannot be incarnated in the creation. He's distinct. The creator is distinct from the creation. He is transcendent. He is beyond comparison. Otherwise, reason does not allow you to compromise, to reconcile what you see around you, the transient nature of things, sun setting and rising, things going, living and dying. This is a constant fluctuation, coming into being and going out of existence. This kind of attributes cannot be described, cannot be the attributes of the creator. The creator is unique, he is incomparable, he is all-powerful, he is all-knowing. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, the beauty of the Quran, unlike all the scriptures in the world, and this is testified by everyone, whether he is an agnostic or a Christian or a Jew, who reads the Quran in comparison with the Torah and the Gospel and the Hindu and the Buddhist scriptures, they will conclude that this Quran connects the universe, the nature, and the scripture. The observation of nature. وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And thus we showed Ibrahim alayhi salam the sovereignty of Allah over the heavens and the earth. He discerned it through his own intellectual probing questions. First he doubted. You cannot have knowledge unless you are willing to ask questions. And this is the Islamic method of searching for truth. you doubt, and then you ask question and come attain that certainty. And Ibrahim alayhi salam attained the certainty that the creator of the universe cannot be incarnate in the creation. And of course, when he addressed his people to renounce the false worship of idols and images, they threatened him. They threw him out. His own father, who was carving statues, making a business out of it, he preached to his father, and his father threatened him, La arjumannaka, I will stone you to death. Wahjurni maliya, go away from me. He shunned him, and of course Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I will go, but I will pray to my Lord to guide you. And of course, then he had an intellectual encounter with Namrud, the ruler, and he defeated him. And finally, when he defeated him, he was thrown to the fire pit because they realized the message is dangerous. It's a message of liberation from false beliefs and superstitions. So he was cast into flames, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously saved him. And then he was forced to leave his country. And he was tested in the wilderness. The first test, his test did not finish by making hijrah. And of course, then he is exposed to another test. That is, he is ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave his wife Hajar and baby Ismail in the wilderness of Makkah, Paran. Of course, we Muslims believe that it is no other place than Makkah. And of course, any objective study of the Bible will reveal that, because there are references in the Bible indicating this historic link, connection between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Makkah. And of course, then the final, another test comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Ibrahim alayhi salam sees a dream which he interprets as a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sacrifice his son. You know, the two scriptures were here. We read in Genesis that Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered to take his only son, the firstborn, the only son, Isaac. Forgetting the fact elsewhere, the Bible says that his firstborn was none other than Ismail alayhi salam. So how do we reconcile? Of course, interpreters, Bible says the Jews were jealous of the Arabs. So wherever there is a reference to the blessing of Ismail alayhi salam, they took out his name and put there the name of Ishaq. But still they did not see how one place they would say, refer to Ismail as the first begotten son of Ibrahim. And then when it comes to sacrifice, although they took out the name of Ismail and inserted the name of Ishaq there, still they kept the only son. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to look at this scripture critically and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed Quran as a confirmation and clarifying the things that are confusing in the previous scriptures. The greatest thing for us in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam, even in spite of all these differences between Muslims, Christians and Jews, we agree on the fact that Ibrahim alayhi salam is our patriarch, he is the father, he is the role model. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama. When Ibrahim alayhi salam passed all the tests, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, I am going to choose you as a leader for all mankind. All of mankind. So the question you and I should ask, we have differences in the scriptural narrative, the stories, we have differences in the laws, but this should not prevent us, as Quran repeatedly mentions, to go back to the original lessons to be learned from Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, of course this is repeated in various places, Surah number 5, verse number 48. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have revealed this book to you, confirming the truths of what was revealed before, and as a guardian over those truths. So decide, judge among them by the revelation given to you from Allah. And know that every one of you has been given a law and a way of life. If Allah wanted, He would have made all of you one ummah. But His will is that you shall remain as different ummahs. وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْرُوَكُمْ God wants to test you in what? In what He has bestowed upon you, upon each of you. فَاسْتَبِكُ الْخَيْرَاتِ So join hands, come together in doing good works. Weigh with one another in doing good works, and you are going to come back to me, then I will make judgment. Elsewhere, the same truth is revealed in different way. The Christians say that no salvation without belief in the vicarious atonement. The death of Jesus, the Lamb of God crucified to atone for the sin. Once you believe in Jesus, the atonement for sin through Jesus, you are saved. This is the Christian belief. On the other hand, the Jews have this claim that it is based on the birth, the lineage to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrects. لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيُّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيَ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ It's not. God's judgment is not based on your wishful thinking. Your wishful thinking. Referring to Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's not based on your wishful thinking or the wishful thinking of the people of the book. Let it be known, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوًا يُجُزَ بِهِ Whoever does evil, sows corruption, he will be requited, he will be punished. وَلَا يَجِدُ لَهُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا He will not find. Jesus cannot save. Your birthright will not save you. Because each one will be judged by his faith and good deeds. And this is the message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. كان أمّةً قانتاً لله حنيفاً ولم يكن من المشركين شاكراً لأنّمي. He was a man like a nation actually, because he's an exemplar for everyone. That's why Allah Subhanahu wa Taala Ummah. He's not just an individual. He is representative of whole community. He's an exemplar for humanity. And what is his traits of character? He utterly submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهُهُ لِلَّهِ Who has better faith, who has a better religion than the one who has surrendered his will totally to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while doing good works. وَاتَّبَى مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا And follows the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا And God took Abraham as his bosom friend. So the lesson, and Allah repeats, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا Whoever does good deeds, whether male or female, while cherishing faith in God and the afterlife, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ They shall enter paradise and they will not be wronged. So come back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. The message of Hajj need to be relearned by every Muslim, every Haji. Because even though we are performing these rituals, many of us think that, oh, because we are going to go to Jannah, because we belong to the Muslim community. The Christians say they will go to Jannah because they have believed in the vicarious atonement. They believed in Jesus as a savior. And the Jews say that it is based on the birthright. Their lineage takes them to Abraham, so they are the chosen people. No, salvation is not based on the birthright. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a savior for us. Ya Fatima, angidi nafsaki min al-nar, la awniyanki min Allah shi'a. I was present in the Isna convention when Sheikh Hamza Yusuf stood up and said, let those who have lineage going back to Rasulullah raise their hands. Half of the audience raised their hands. First of all, this question does not make any sense in Islam, because in Islam salvation is not the birthright. Ya Fatima, angidi nafsaki min an-nar. When the Prophet was ordered to preach openly, he went to his closest relative. He went to Fatima, his own daughter, and said to her, Ya Fatima, angidi nafsaki min an-nar. Save yourself from hellfire. La ughniyanki min Allah shay'a. I cannot save you. You need to work for your salvation. How do we save ourselves? Through sound faith and good works. And this is the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, a natural way. Because every human being, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, is born with that innate knowledge of God, the capacity to recognize the Creator, and of course with that willingness to do good. Then the environment corrupts or makes him a better person. So let's come back to the message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Let us relearn the lessons. And of course, Hajj is our brothers and sisters gathered in the plains of Arafat will be praying for all of us. Let us also pray. And the remaining days, of course, these are the most blessed days. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are no days more blessed and more worthy of excellent deeds, deeds being acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than these 10 nights. Allah in the Quran made an oath by them, wal fajr wal layal al ashr, and the dawn and the 10 nights. According to the mufassirin, these 10 nights are the first 10 nights of the Hijjah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire me and you to utilize these days and nights maximum and come nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing the good deeds that He wants us to perform. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى دين الإسلام وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. There is a petition we are asked to sign, and of course, as you know, the condition in the United States getting worse and worse for Muslims. There is this Islamophobia, this storm, this, and it's coming here also. The wind is blowing in this direction, and you know, there are so many incidents of attacks against Muslims, Muslim women in hijab, and Muslim, even people who are suspected of being Muslims, people, Sikhs who wear turban, they are attacked because people thought they are Muslims. So how do we respond to this? It's important for us as Muslims to take responsibility. We need to stand united and struggle. This is a country, it has a constitution, It has fundamental rights guaranteed for all of its citizens. So we need to uphold, we need to stand up that the Islam of fever doesn't take place here. Discrimination based on religion, ethnicity and race and color, we cannot tolerate that. So let us stand up. It's my duty, your duty as a citizen of this country. It's my duty and your duty as a Muslim. Islam wants us to stand up for our rights. And the way to do that is by exercising the democratic method. If we don't use it, we can only blame ourselves. So I will urge you, everyone, no one should leave this masjid. If you care for Islam and Muslims, for your children and grandchildren, the future is at stake here, my brother. So don't take it easy. Sign and make sure that as many people sign. Not only you sign, but make sure as many people are, you encourage them to sign. Because this is a challenge. It's the least thing that we can do. Let's do that. Let no one be slack or lazy in this, because we cannot then cry over the milk that is spilled later. Let us pray for those who have passed away. Allahumma ufir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat. Allah yahyi minhum wal amwat. Let us also pray for those who are sick and suffering. Allahumma rabban nas adhib al bas. Ishfi anta shafi. Ishfi anta shafi. Ishfi anta shafi. اللهم اشفهم شفاء تاما لا يغادر سقما ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا الا غفرته ولا هما الا فرجته ولا دينا الا قضيته ولا مريضا الا شفيته ولا ميتا الا رحمته ولا حاجه ترضيك الا قضيتها يا ارحم الراحمين اقم الصلاه